Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
But will be the demonstration of the Spirit of our power, so that your people, their faith will not rest upon the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. Father, I commit this time to you. I ask for the anointing of God to be upon us, Lord. The oil of anointing shall be poured upon every head. And this word will not just change the mind, but will penetrate into that spirit. That the life will be changed, Lord, by your word and by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I have noticed that prosperity are more dangerous to our soul than adversity. I noticed that when people become successful and become prosperous, they tend to think that I am untouchable. I am uncheckable. Nothing can check me. I'm fine. And when you begin to go into that mode of your life, you become callous toward other people who need concern, who need love, who need help from you, those who are hurting. And that's why we have to be careful when we begin to get prosper and to become prosperous and successful, because we don't want to be insensitive to the needy and to those who are in trouble. That's why sometimes God needs to allow September 11 to happen, even though it's not perfect will of God. But God allow calamity to happen. God allow difficulties to happen so that we will be waking up. It's like a wake up call and say, oh, I am not totally uncheckable. I'm not totally untouchable. And you will become more sensitive to people around you. And you start to walk in love again. I pray that all of you will not let your prosperity make you callous, to the point that God has to send something into your life so that you will wake up. I'd like to read this scripture to you. Luke chapter 2, verses 16 to 21, talking about a rich man. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, what shall I do? For I don't have space. You notice, I'm going to emphasize here. He asked himself, what shall I do, for I don't have space to store my goods. Then he said, hear what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build me larger ones. Then I'll say to myself, I have so many good things stored up for me. Now rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. Then to whom will all your things belong? Thus will it be for anyone who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God. The topic of the sermon today is what matters most to our life. This rich man was blessed by God. And then he think about me, I, self, myself. Instead of thinking that God bless me so that I can bless the lost and dying world. So that I can help those people who are in need. He just think about himself. I just want to have more houses, more condo to buy, more vacation home, more cars. Get my money. I sell property. Then I get money for myself and I want to buy more. And me, myself all the time. And never think about other people. And God say, you fool, because you don't know that tonight your life will be taken away. And then God end this story that this person is not rich in what matters to God. I want to read from scripture what matters to God. Look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. If you are a follower of Christ Jesus, all that matters is your faith that makes you love others. Everyone say, what matters is my faith and make me love others. My dear brother and sister, God said that what matters to you, to Him, is not your accomplishments, is not your achievements, is not your fame, your reputation, your wealth, your homes, your bank account, your 401k, and everything. God said that this is something that people miss a lot in this society, is that what matters to God is that how much you love God and how much you love other people. It's about love. Love matters the most. I mentioned last Sunday that many times when parents want to say something to their kids, they will say the same thing again and again many times. The same thing when I want to talk to my patients. I want to make sure that they know, they get the message. I say, you, after this back surgery, you don't bend over, you don't pick up heavy things, and you don't twist your back. And I say that 5 times before they go home. I say that again and again, and still people don't listen to me. They still bend over, they still pick up things, because people don't get it. The same thing, the Bible uses the same principle. He wants His people to get it. So He's going to say one thing many times. Today, I want to read from the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to let you know that love is the thing that matters most in the heart of God. He said this 5 times in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1. If I could speak in any language in heaven and on earth, but did not love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanking cymbal. So, the Bible says the first time here, if I don't live a life of love, nothing I say will matter. Whatever you say, if you don't love, it will be just a meaningless sound. Wordless sound. You know, in America, I noticed that people are so thrilled about eloquence, about great communicator, about great charismatic preacher. We like that kind of people can cheer us up and talk very well on the pulpit. But God say, I don't care about eloquence. Look at Paul say. Paul say, I pray that my speech and my preaching is not of the wisdom of man. So God is not looking for those things. God looking at, do you love when you say something? Amen. If you don't live a life of love, nothing you say will matter in the eyes of God. Number 2, look at verse 2. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all the secret things of God and have all knowledge. But if I do not have love, then I am nothing. So God tried to say this. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I know will matter. God tried to remind us that even though you know like a genius, you have PhD, you know everything. You have all the information. You went to Bible school. You listened to sermon tapes 100 times. You read to the Bible 500 times. You can quote all the scriptures. You can read the Bible upside down. You know all the principle, all the demonology, theology, all this thing, doctrine. But if you don't love, it means nothing to Him. It's interesting that I watch the world today, that the knowledge in the world has exploded so quickly. Every 6 years, the knowledge increased double. Today, do you notice that human beings today have more knowledge than 100 years ago? It's amazing. You need to change your computer every few years. You need to change the new program. Now we have iPod. The kid walk around with this small box and iPod. You know, no, we don't have it. When I was young, I was still playing some rock on the ground like this. When I was young, I throw a rock. Now they have iPod and walk like this. You know, they have games, you know. But you notice that even though we have all the knowledges, but the world still have war, discrimination, prejudice, hatred, killing, murder. Why? Because the world doesn't need only knowledge. The world needs love. Amen. If you have all the knowledge, nothing that you know will matter if you don't love. Remember this. Don't be proud of your theological knowledge. Because it doesn't matter to Him. It doesn't matter to God. God wants you to walk in love. Amen. 3, verse 2 continue to say, even if I had the gift of faith, So that I could speak to a mountain and make it move. Talking about faith here, the supernatural, the miracle worker. I would still be worth nothing at all without love. The Bible says that if I don't live a life of love, no matter how much faith I have, it will matter nothing. Nothing I believe. You can even move the mountain. You can put your hand like this and people fly in the air. And you have so much power, have faith that things can happen. But if you don't do it out of love, it means nothing to God. You are zero. You are zip. You are nothing in the eyes of God. But you say, Pastor, but I believe that my faith is in what I know. What I believe. I have a lot of knowledge. I know about Jesus. I have faith in Jesus. I want to tell you right now, demons believe in Jesus too. Satan also believes that Jesus is the Son of God. But what is the difference? Why Satan will not go to heaven? Because Satan come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Satan doesn't love. But as Christians, we love. We want to bless. We want to give people abundant life. We want to give to people what they don't deserve. We bless people. Therefore, don't just go by what you believe, but go by love here too. Amen. So if you don't live a life of love, nothing you say, nothing you know, nothing you believe will matter. Now God speak again the fourth time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 3. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body but did not love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Wow, God used the word. Whatsoever have no value. If I don't live a life of love, no matter what I give will matter. That's what the Bible says. Giving is not necessarily always loving. Yes, if you love, you want to give. But be careful, not every time that you give, you love. Why? Because a lot of people give to get back. Is that right? You know, you people give you something. I heard this word when I first moved to America. There is no free lunch. People give you lunch. They want something. They want business from you. They want you to buy some product from them. So there is no free lunch. People give to get something back. Sometimes people give because they want to cover their guilt. They may do something bad. And then they send money to tsunami. But because they do something bad, so they want to cover their guilt. Giving to cover your guilt is not the giving of love. Some people give because they want to control others. I buy this for you, okay, son? But you must do this for me. Honey, I give this car to you. I buy this car for you. But you need to do this for me. Controlling. Give to control. Don't do that. Amen. So giving is not always loving. Some people give for what? For prestige, for glory, for honor. I want my name to be recorded. I want my name to be in the wall. That's why we don't practice this in our church, that if you give money, we're going to put you on the wall of honor or something. No, we don't give to get honor. We don't give to get prestige. We give because we love God. Amen. Amen. Sometimes people give with the wrong motive. I remember one time I talked to a lawyer. He's a very successful lawyer. I know him very well. He helped many of our members here to fight a legal action, and he won. He told me that he confessed to me. He's maybe about 5 years older than me. He said that one day I walk into my house, and my wife told me that I want to divorce you. And he said, what? I gave you everything. I gave you a boat. I gave you a vacation home. I gave you big houses, waterfront. I gave you money, everything. But why you divorce me? And she said that because you never loved me. You just gave stuff to me. Sometimes giving is not always loving. You have to be careful. You need to check your heart whether you give out of love or you just give to cover your guilt. And he was divorced. Amen. So you can see here that he repented. He said, I make a big mistake in my marriage life. Praise the Lord that we can learn from now so that we will not make that mistake. Number 5, not only that nothing you give, nothing you know, nothing you say will matter if you don't love. Number 5, verse 3 again. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I accomplish will matter. Amen. A lot of people look for personal achievement, personal accomplishment. They want their name to be in the Fortune magazine, in the Seattle Times. They want to own the boss that, oh, you know, look at my resume. I have my name. I have, look at me. I own billions-dollar company, worth company. I'm very successful man. But God say, I don't care about those things. I want to make sure you love. God doesn't look at your accomplishment. Thank God for accomplishments. It's a blessing from God. Sometime, not all the time. Hallelujah. So, in conclusion, God say 5 times that if you have the eloquence of an orator, if you have the knowledge of the genius, if you have the faith of the miracle worker, if you have the generosity of the rich man, if you have the achievement of a superstar, but if you don't live a life of love, you are nothing in the eyes of God. Mean nothing. Will matter, will not matter at all in the eyes of God. My dear brother and sister, I want to remind you one thing. One day we all gonna stand before the throne of God. And you know, when you stand before the throne of Jesus, He will not evaluate you. How many houses you have? How much money you have in the bank account? How long the resume you have, that how many accomplishments you have done in your life, how big a company you become a CEO, how much money you have. He never asked that question. He doesn't care. You may be a pastor of a big church. He doesn't look at how many members you have. This is a question He asks you. What do you do with your life regarding loving me and loving people? That's going to be the evaluation. Keep your perspective right. Amen. A lot of people have a lot of money, but they never love anyone, never share with anyone. Always look for opportunity to show love to people. Amen. The Bible is very clear. The love is a primary objective. Love is the supreme value of life. Very important. I just want to encourage you today. The most important thing in your life is love. And God is love. Love is powerful. Amen. Amen. It's amazing that in English word, we use the word love very loosely. People don't understand the true meaning of the word love or agape. They use the word love like this. I love Krispy Kreme. I love to lie on the beach in Maui. I love Oahu. I love Waikiki Beach. I love sushi. Amen. I love bún thịt nướng. I love this kind of food, spicy food. Amen. I love my dog. I love my cat. And you know, you try to look in the dictionary of the world. You try to read through encyclopedia. And I find out that there is no book in the world that gives the real definition of love. Actually, every time you read about love in the worldly book, you can see the word sex. And it's interesting that in the high school and junior high school in America, kids know about sex more than love. They know how to use condom. They know how to prevent themselves if they get into sexual relationship. But kids don't understand the true meaning of love. And not only that, a lot of hit song in America, there is one rap song called I don't remember the name. Let me look for it. There's a rap song. What is it in here? I write it down. There's a rap song talked about, oh, some kind of love, the burning with love. And the song is more about lust, actually. Lust is about give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. I cannot sing rap song. I'm sorry. Give it to me. If you don't give it to me, I will take it from you. If you don't give it to me, I will go to somebody else. It's about lust. Amen. So, we need to be careful. Love is willing to wait to give. But lust is not willing to wait. Amen. To take. Lust is about taking. But love is about giving. Amen. The number one album of song in America usually talk about lust, not about love. And our kids, our young people learn about that all the time from the TV. And very sad that we bombard our young generation with the wrong definition of love. Now, but because of the time, I'm going to give you some knowledge from the Bible about what does it mean about love. How many people want to know what the Bible talk about love? Number one, the Bible say that love is a command. 2 John chapter 1 verse 6. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and He has commanded us to love one another. Love is a command from God. Love is not an option. Love is not a suggestion. Love is not a good idea that you entertain yourself, but that decorate your brain with that good idea. Love is a command. Amen. And if you don't love, you sin against God. Period. If you don't love, you know, every time people make me mad, I have to pull out myself back and say, okay, how am I going to respond to this thing? If I respond with hatred and unforgiveness, I know I sin against God. No matter what other people do to me, I need to respond with love. Amen. Because love is a command. Hallelujah. You cannot live without love. You only exist without love. If you want to live a real life, abundant life, you need to love. Because love is a command, therefore, love is not a feeling. Can you command feeling? You cannot command feeling. Have you ever seen kids, young kids that you spank and then they cry? Have you ever seen that in your house? Maybe your kid's too small. But I have seen that many times in my house. And then you command your kids, son, be happy right now. And yeah, I'm happy right now. You cannot command a feeling. Is that right? You cannot command a feeling. But you can command, God command you to love. It's not just a feeling. But thank God, love creates feeling. Love creates the feeling. There's a movie in the theater right now, but I don't remember the name. But this guy teach people how to go after woman. You know how to, what is the name?
Hitch,
okay. This guy, you know, he tried to teach other young men to talk to woman. But when he come to himself, falling in love with a woman, he's feeling, you know, he cannot talk to that lady. I feel that many years ago when I met her. Still sometimes. I don't know what to say to her. I was so, my heart like, you know, my hand was shaking when I tried to go after her many years ago. Love causes feeling, but love is not a feeling. Amen. Everyone say love is a command. God commands me to love. Amen. Number two, the Bible says that love is a choice. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. Everyone say, go after. It's a decision. It's a choice you make. You know, when you go after something, it's a choice, right? When I first met Da many years ago, I went after her. It's my choice. Amen. So it's a choice. So the same thing. Love is not something happened by accident. I remember when I was a young man, people tell me like this all the time, I fall in love. It's a picture like this. You walk on the street and then suddenly you jump, you fall into a ditch. Oh, I fall in love. I cannot control. No. You can control. It's a choice you make. It's not something that you just fall in. People say like this all the time. People come to young lady, I fall in love with you. You can get this CD and give to that man. And say love is not about falling in love. Not about falling. Amen. You know, sometimes I give counseling to husband and wife who want to get divorced. Not in our church. We never have divorce in this church. And what happened is that the husband always say like this. You know, I cannot love her anymore. I don't like her anymore. Actually, she should change the word. I make a choice not to love her. Because in fact, you can make a choice to love people. It's a choice. It's not about a feeling. It's not something uncontrollable. You make your own choice every single day. I make a choice to love all of you, even though some of you give me a hard time. Hallelujah. You know, I appreciate apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But I think in my personal opinion, pastor is the hardest job. Many times I want to give this church to Pastor Caesar. And say, Pastor Caesar, I give this church to you. Now I'm going to be a traveling evangelist. So I don't need to deal with all these people. Because sometimes they give me a hard time. They call me, Pastor, why do you do this? Mom, you make a mistake. I'm leaving the church right now. But, you know, people threaten me all the time that they want to leave the church. And they say, you know, whatever you want to do, I'm going to continue to love you. Don't threaten me. That's not nice. You are not in my shoes. I want to tell you one thing. If you criticize how I pastor the church, I want to ask you to go and pastor a church like me first, and you understand my shoes. If you never done it, don't criticize. Amen. It's true. You've never been in my shoes that how to run a church with international people with 250 people. It's not easy. Therefore, I make a choice, even though people give me a hard time, to love. It's a choice. One thing that I learned from God is that, you know, acting in love when the situation is not favorable is the highest form of love. It's so easy to love when you are on first honeymoon. It's so easy to love when you have a lot of money, when you have good job, when everyone is healthy, everything goes well. But it's harder to love when he is grumbling and in good, bad mood. It's very hard to love when you have no money. It's hard to love when you and your husband lost the job and become unemployed. It's very hard to love when your kids wake up at midnight, cry, and you try to wake up to and help your kids. Is that right? It's not easy to love when the things do not go the way you want. But that is the highest form of love. You love even though things do not go right the way you expect. That is real love. My brother and sister, our church faced a lot of problems in the past years. I appreciate many of you. Even though we hit many tsunami, we hit the rock, we hit, you know, the Titanic hit. Iceberg, yeah, thank you. We hit many icebergs, but we haven't sung yet. We hit many icebergs in our church, many problems, but thank God that many of you don't leave me and say, I'm going to go to another bigger church and nice service, and I don't have to worry anymore. But you suffer with me. That is a real love. That is a real friend. Amen. That we just suffer together in a time of hardship. And you know, that builds your character. To run away when we have problems in the church, to run to another good church around here, is not building your character. Building character is commitment. Amen. Hallelujah. Love is giving a person what he needs, not what he deserves. If God give me what I deserve, I cannot stand up here right now. Some people criticize me all the time. That why I allow that person to sing up here? Why I allow that person to play guitar? He doesn't deserve it. I tell you, I answer you right now. If God go by books, go by legalism, I don't deserve to stand up here and preach at all. I'm a sinner too. I make so many mistakes in my life. But God give me grace to be able to stand up here. Amen. Amen. Therefore, if God is gracious to me and you, we should be gracious to one another. Our job is to heal people and to help people to recover. Our job is not to come in like a Pharisee and cut people's throat and kill them in the church and say, you don't deserve to kick them out of here. You notice that Jesus never kicked people out of the synagogue. Jesus only kicked the devil out of the synagogue. Amen. Our job is to kick the devil out of people, not kick people out of the church. Amen. Amen. So the same thing, if people make mistakes in the church, please be gracious. If you love, you give people what they don't deserve. What they need love. They need forgiveness. They need encouragement. They need exhortation. They don't need judgmental spirit from you. Amen. Amen. Love also is giving to another person without guarantee of getting anything back. I make a commitment to God many years ago. I have to confess to you right now, several years ago, I have this bad attitude. I confess that if people come to this building and they don't contribute anything, they don't give tithe, they don't become my member, I'm not going to bless them. Bad attitude. I did. Many years ago, while I was on the floor, when God touched me in revival, God rebuked me and said, "Mom, you are wrong. You have religious spirit. You need to repent right now. You bless everyone. You give to everyone, even though you don't expect anything back from them. Bless everyone who walked into this house. Amen. No discrimination. No denomination. No such kind of thing, because that is a spirit of religion." And I repented and I said, "God, from now on, anyone walk into this building, doesn't matter that what they do. I mean, they bless us or not, they give money to us, it doesn't matter. We are not here for money. We want to bless, we want to see people love God." Amen. Love is caring about other people's well-being without getting anything back. That is true love. Love is a choice. Love is a command. Number three, the Bible says that love is a conduct. 1 John 3:18. Let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them, showing it by our action. Love is not just saying. Love is not just feeling. Love is not just a card from Hallmark. Love is action, activity, behavior, doing something. You know, I have learned something in my own life that I make mistakes. We are trained since we were young that our goal is to accomplish something. Listen carefully. This is very important wisdom. We all have this training. We're going to accomplish something. I want my goal to get done. I want the job to get done. I want to reach something. And we're so distracted. We're so focused on our goal to the point that many times God allows somebody to come in front of our nose that they need help and need love from us. But our eye is so on what we want to get done to forget that this person need love and need help. And we just let the chance go by and never show love to that person. Amen. Amen. Last New Year Eve service. You know, we come here to have good time. But some people so strict to the point that we need to count down 10 to 1 at exactly midnight. Who cares at midnight? I mean, I don't care at midnight. It's about love. It's not about 10, 9. There is, you know, we focus the what matter most. Sometimes we go to care group and people come in and do something that you don't agree, and you start to, "I don't agree with this. My plan is this way. My paper say this way. So if you do this," and we forget that we are here to love. We are not here to just follow the paper. Amen. It's not about what you can get done. It's about love. If God tell you to invite somebody for dinner, if God tell you to call somebody, God wake you up at 3 a.m. to pray for people, you do it. Don't let the chance go by. Invite people. Visit people. Many times I tell you, God tested me. God tested me like this. He said, "Okay, this afternoon go to visit that person." And I say, "God, I'm tired. I have to preach tonight. I'm tired. I want to sleep." God said, "You go." I need to do it. Amen. Don't let the opportunity go by. Do it. Loving is doing. It's not just about thinking. It's not about just feeling. My dear brother, sister, I know that one of the group of people in the church that really sometimes need, I think they need to really change is people who have the gift of administration. Oh, I don't mention the name. Because all of you who have the gift of administration have to really have the right perspective. You try to get things done, but you forget about love. To the point that you just forget about people fall, you just focus on your plan, and people fall down there and die, you don't even know. Because your eyes is on your paper. Please be careful. Amen. I listened to one evangelist. He said like this. One day he was driving to teach seminar called evangelism. And while he was driving, he was late. No, he's going to go to teach seminar about evangelism. Another car passed by. and kind of cut in front of him. So he cut in front of that guy and he put the finger up. You know what finger? I don't want to do it here. He put the finger up and then God spoke to him. You are going to teach about evangelism? And you put the finger up to the non-believer? What are you doing here? This is a hypocrite. Is that right? It's not about teaching the class. It's about loving people. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Number four, the Bible says that God is not only a command. The Bible says that God, the love is a choice. Love is a conduct. Number four, love is a commitment. The Bible says God is love. If we keep on loving, everyone say keep on. Keep on loving. It's a commitment. Not only one time, not only one day, keep on loving. Amen. You listen to this sermon and you say like this. You think in your heart, God, today I'm so convicted by your word. I promise you, from now on, I'm going to improve in my love. I'm going to love people. I'm going to be a loving person. I commit that I'm going to love all the time from now on. Thank God for your prayer. Thank God that you make that commitment. But I want to warn you one thing. Commitment will come with a test. God gonna test you. If you have commitment, God gonna test you. Whether you, it really means it. I believe that many times things go wrong in our church. I'm talking about church life. To test you whether you are committed to love your pastor and your brother and sister in the church or not. Or you're gonna run away. I want to encourage you. If God called you to be here, obey God. Not everyone is for this church. I know that. But we love everyone. But if God called you to be here, even many tests come, somebody step on your toes, somebody say something wrong about you, just commit to love no matter what. Amen. Amen. And you're going to grow in love. That's how you grow in love. Love needs a lot of work inside you. Amen. How many people say, think that you have figured out everything about love and you are expert in love now? Stand up right now. I'm not one of them either. I'm not expert in love. I actually, when I prepare this teaching, I'm so convicted that I'm still far away from the love of God. I want to give you 5 tips of how to walk in love. 5 tips. We will come back with this message again about love. This year, I want to emphasize a few things in preaching. Number one, I want to emphasize about revival, about the move of God, the fire of God. Because I noticed that our church, our own people, don't understand about the fire of God very well. So I'm going to talk about the fire of God all year, off and on. 2, I'm going to talk about the honor of God this year. I want people to honor, know how to honor the things of God. Number 3, I want to emphasize about love. So you're going to hear this message in a different angle off and on. Amen. Now, 5 things you need to do in order to keep loving. Number 1, learn how perfect love acts and responds. Who is the perfect love? Jesus. So you need to know Jesus. You need to walk with Jesus. You need to really come close to Jesus. How Jesus worked with you today? In a physical form? How do you know Jesus today? By who? By the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came in the form of the Holy Spirit today. And you need to know Him through the Spirit. So you know, you kind of learn the perspective of God, how God acts. How many people know that God's ways are not your ways? How many people know that God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts? You think this way that is right way, but many times it's wrong. Amen? I try to follow God's way. I try to ask Jesus, if this happened, if it were you, what would you do? If this happened to Jesus, what Jesus would do? That's why when Jesus went around, people got mad at him all the time. You remember one time a woman who deserved to be stoned, and he said that if you never sin, throw the first stone. Make a lot of people mad at him. Because in the eyes of the religion, say stone her, kill her. But God's thoughts are different from us. So that's why we need to know what God thinks about love, how God responds and acts in love. Amen. That's why you need to be close to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to mention about that at the end. Number two, start your day with a daily reminder to love. I think it's very good if you wake up every morning and you say, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loved you. I promise you today that I will not walk in the flesh. I will walk in the Spirit. I will walk in love today, all day. I promise you, I make a commitment. If you can do that for 10 minutes every morning, believe me, if something happened wrong in that afternoon, that somebody get on your nerve, you will remember you promised God, and it's hard to fail. But if you don't wake up thinking about walking in love, when somebody come and step on your toes during the day or afternoon, you're going to react and you're going to start to throw something back. So it's good to start your day by making a commitment to God. Today, I'm going to walk in love. Amen? Amen. Pray like that every morning. Because love matters most in the eyes of God. Number three, memorize what God says about love. You need to study the Bible. You need to listen to sermon. You need to remember scriptures. I want to tell you this. In our Christian life, this is how God works with us. Okay, listen carefully. This is very important for believers. How God works with you and me. He is very smart. This is how God works. Number one, we are like a glove and He is the hand. He sent His Spirit into us. And He moved inside us. We call grace. Grace means supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that will help you to do what He wants you to do. Grace is not a ticket to sin. A lot of people say, thank God for the grace of God. I can continue to sin and He keep forgiving me. No, you're going to get spanked. Don't use the word grace to sin. Grace means the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit come upon you like a hand to move you so that you can do what God tells you to do. That's number one. The second way God works in you is this. God works only according to the knowledge you have. When you are like a container, you study the Word of God all the time, get in the Word, get in the bread of God, the more you know the Bible, the more the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, can remind you of what God say, and He work that way. Holy Spirit will work by reminding you of what God say in the Bible. Amen. I noticed that lately when I lay hand on people, I get more result than 5 years ago. You know, I don't think because I have more anointing. I think because I understand more about laying on of hand. So every time I lay hand, the Holy Spirit in me work with me about what I know. So when I lay hand, I have faith with that knowledge to make something happen by knowledge. Because I have the Word. That's why the Bible says faith come by hearing of the Word of God. When you know the Word, God's Spirit work with the Word of God inside you and they work and something happen. Amen. Amen. So that's why if you want to walk in love, you need to know the Word. How God walk in love. Is it clear? By the Spirit, by the Word. The church need to welcome both the Spirit and the Word of God. Not just only the Holy Spirit. Not only the Word. We need both. Amen. Number four. You remember the Bible say like this. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You need to have the Word of God inside you. Number four. Practice acting in unselfish, loving way. Start doing it. Acting in love is like a muscle. The more you exercise your muscle, the muscle get bigger and bigger. Acting in love is like driving a car. I remember when I first drove a car long time ago. I have a hard time putting the gear in, try to think about putting on the brake, how much I put pressure on the brake. It's really struggle for many years. And after a few years, I can sing song, I can pray, I can talk during driving. Because you know why? Driving become my second nature. Is that right? The same thing with love. If you don't act in love every day, it will be very awkward to you. Practice. When you come to church, hi, how are you? Practice love. When you see people get into trouble financially, I give to you. Practice right away. Don't think, pray about the 10 days. No, do it. Don't pray for 10 days. Sometimes people use this word all the time. I will pray about it. You don't have to pray about it. Just do it. Act in love right away. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that you will not feel awkward anymore when you practice love. Last one. Number one, what? Learn how perfect love of Jesus act and respond. Number two, start your day with your devotion and your commitment to God. Three, memorize God's word, study the word of God. Number four, practicing acting the unselfish love every single day now. Number five, get support from other loving people. Do you know that love is contagious? Yes. I thank God that I married a loving woman. I grew up in a broken home. My dad and my mom did not get along. They fought all the time. So my home was full of hatred and trouble. I never know how to show love to people. I was not very sensitive to people. That's how I grew up. Very insensitive. But after I married Da, I'm glad. I hang around with a loving woman. She's so loving. And that's really spilled on me. It really spilled on me. The more you hang out with people who are loving, the more you're going to be loving. That's why we should set aside 2 or 3 hours a week to come in the small group fellowship and hang out together in the fellowship. Because that will help you to, not only that somebody love will spill on you, the impartation of love, but not only that, you can exercise the love in the laboratory. Because somebody in the fellowship group gonna step on your toe and say something that you get mad, and you can practice love by forgiving. You will never be able to grow in love by just watching TV. The preacher in the TV every single day. You need to be in the situation that you're gonna have to practice love, and that is fellowship. You need to stay around with people who are not loving, lovely. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you commit to do these 5 things, you're going to start to grow in love. I want to read Ephesians 5:2. Keep company with God. Is it good? Keep company with God. I like it. I want to keep company with Jesus. And learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He did not love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us, love like that. Oh, beautiful scripture. Love like Jesus. Hang around with Jesus. Amen. 3 days ago, God spoke to me. Let me end this sermon here. I have been Christian for 25 years. When I first came to America, I was so heartbroken to hear that many American people hate Christianity. I remember when I was at Harborview Hospital, when I talk about Jesus, all the doctors and nurses kind of make their face like, I don't like church. I don't like Christian. Because I came from Buddhist country, and I feel like, oh, Christian is so good. But when I came here, why people look down on Christians so much? And as time go by, God show me. But because there are a lot of messes in the church, that it's not good testimony to the world. Pastor divorce his wife. People commit adultery in the church. People gossip in the church. People in the church act worse than the world. It's sad. Very sad. And I don't want that in the church. And then I asked God, and I said, God, why this happened? People know Jesus, people know the Bible, but why people act worse in the church than outside the world? I mean, people in the world, they love their husband and they love their wife, they don't even divorce, but people in the church divorce. It's very sad. And the Lord showed me why I have to send revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because there are 2 big problems in the church that cause the church to be in trouble. Number one, how many people want to know? I'm going to end sermon here. Number one, the big problem in the church is the flesh. F-L-E-S-H. People walk in the flesh. The second problem is demon. Because people are demonized, but the demon never been kicked out. So even though they look good, they dress good, but inside full of demons, even though they are believers. You know, actually, I'm not afraid of demons because I can kick them out. I can cast them out. Amen. But the most important enemy in the church is not demon. Demon, piece of cake. I'm serious. I mean, piece of cake, kick them out. But the most scary thing in the church is the flesh. Is that right? Yes. Now, why revival is so important? Why people need to be touched by the Spirit of God and filled with the glory of God in revival? You know, I tell you, what I preach today, you cannot do it. It's impossible. You can only do it only if you have the fullness of the Spirit of God inside you. Only you have Jesus full inside you. Amen. The Bible says, walk by the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Walk by the Spirit, not walk by the flesh. But why Christians all over the world who know the Bible, who know even speaking in tongue, walk in the flesh? Why? I ask God, I argue with God all the time when I study the Bible. God, why? And God answer me. Listen carefully. Interesting, God say like this to me. He said, because my people don't know my Spirit. How can you walk with somebody that you don't know? It's impossible. Is that right? You try to walk with the Spirit, but you don't know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the most ignored person in the church. That's why in revival, when God touched people. That's why this morning when I woke up, God said, tell my people, get a drink. Get a drink. When the Holy Spirit touched you, you fall under the power, you laugh, you shake, you cry, not only demons come out of you. You know, Pastor Derek Prince said that at the end of his book and at the end of his teaching. He said that I have to give counseling to many, many people to cast out demons out of them. Eventually, one day, God said to him like this, stop doing this, waste of your time. Move in revival. Because in revival, when God moved, in Joel chapter 2, say that when the Spirit of God move, locusts will be kicked out. Locusts represent demons. When God move, Holy Spirit move, demons come out of people. Amen. But not only that, when Holy Spirit touch people, demons come out from people. God save the pastor time. Instead of keep counseling one by one, you just lay hand, bam, 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 get the Holy Spirit touch people. Demons come out of them. Not only that, when the Holy Spirit fall, how many people when God touch you on the floor, you feel the presence of God. You feel that God work on the inside of you. You know Holy Spirit more by fellowshipping with Him and communing with Him. Then when you get up from the floor or when you get up from being drunk in the Holy Spirit, you walk to the shopping mall, you know how to hook up to the Holy Spirit. And your flesh will go down, but the Spirit will rise up. That's why God told me that don't stop revival in the church. Don't stop the move of God in the church. We need the move of God. Because otherwise my people are going to walk in carnality in the flesh and demons going to be around in the whole church. How many people agree that there's so many problems in the church nowadays? Is that right? Why? Because they only teach the word, but there's no demonstration of the Spirit of God. We need the demonstration of the Spirit of God. I see so many people in this church that I can say that their life have been changed tremendously by the Spirit of God. Ginny, who? One of them? Changed so much by the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, people who've been touched by God changed so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's why if you want to walk by love, you need to know the Word and you need to be filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So please understand me. That why I allow God move in the church, to move in the church. And I know that a lot of people get mad at me and they leave the church. They never want to come back. People come and say, oh, I don't want this kind of church. God move. It's interesting. It's very interesting that people fast and pray for 40 days, 40 nights. God, people call for revival, God call for outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But when God show up in the church, walk out the door. It's interesting. But when people sit in front of the TV, see people kill one another, people lie on the bed together and all this, good. But when we come to church, God moving, run out the door. I don't want to come back to this church anymore. Too much here. Why? Because the flesh is uncomfortable when God is moving. Your flesh feels uncomfortable with God is moving. That's why you need to just don't go by your mind. Don't go by your brain and say, oh, I don't like this. No, you need it. You need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you get it, what I say today. I pray you get it. In fact, let me say one last thing. Otherwise, I will never stop. Think about it carefully. Think about it. The move of God really killed the flesh. I am a 52 years old man, a father, a successful neurosurgeon, a pastor. You think which one is the flesh and which one is humility? If I walk around like this, preach like this, okay? Or get drunk in the Holy Spirit on the floor. Which one is the flesh? Which one is in the spirit? I want member in our church to be in the spirit, not to be in the flesh.
Amen.
All right, you have somebody who could say, hallelujah, stand up and say, thank God, more than people sit around. I know all the Bible. I know whatever you preach. I learn all of this stuff. I have my dignity. That is dangerous. Because we need to be like children. We need to be humble. We don't know everything.
Amen.
Actually, the more I know about God, the more the feeling that I know less. That's why when the four creatures call holy in heaven, you know what? That's why they keep calling holy for thousands and millions of years. You know why? Because every time they see the new revelation of God's glory, they say, holy. You see, again, holy, never stop, unlimited. The glory of God is unlimited. And we, all Christians, say that, oh, I know a lot already. I don't need more God. I don't need Holy Spirit. No, you need more.
Yep.
We don't know everything.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Be humble. Hallelujah. I need to talk about this because I believe that no matter what I preach about love, you will never get there until you are people of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because only the Holy Ghost can move on the inside of you as a glove and the hand on the inside. You know, we went to somewhere yesterday. I went to that place and I look at the non-believer around that room. I feel like, God, I love them. Oh, God, please save these people. Oh, this morning too happened. We went to Starbucks. This morning I went to Starbucks and I saw all the people woke up 8 o'clock in the morning, went to Starbucks. I said, these people need to be in the church. Why are they in Starbucks? They need to be in the church and drink the things of God. Don't drink coffee. By the way, I drank chocolate. And then, I love them. I look at them. I know it's not my own love. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I look at them. Oh God, I pray for them that these people will come to know God. People, God bless America. People walk away from Christianity. People walk away from Jesus. Please, the heart of God, the Spirit of God will move on the inside of you to love people. You need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? You need the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to welcome the Holy Spirit in the church. Amen. How many people have that experience? The more God touch you, the more love you have. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of the limited time and limited space. Before I do anything, let us pray. That God will really change us to be loving people. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I believe that your Holy Spirit will work on the inside of us. the knowledge that we have from the Bible. We value your word. We love your word. We believe, Lord, that your word is sweeter than honey. We receive your word with humility today. We want to be changed. Our mind want to be transformed by your word, Lord. Change us, Lord. Give us new perspective. Repattern our thinking that we will think like you. Give us the mind of Christ that we will not, Lord, have only the mind of the world. Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you will help us to love you, to love other people, even our enemies, more than what we can do by our own strength. The grace of God is sufficient for us, Lord. The grace from the Holy Spirit help us to love, to forgive, to be kind, to be sensitive to people's need, Lord. Help us not to be like that rich man in the book of Luke that would say, I, myself and me, and miss the riches of what matter to God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to ask Khun Pieng Chai and your daughter to come out here. Hallelujah. We have limited space and limited time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Al, come out here, please. Just stay, honor God for a few minutes, okay? I will not take long. Hallelujah. Brother Reuben. We don't have a lot of space. If you say you want a drink, you say I want a drink, come out here. You want a drink. You want a whole jar. He said he want a whole jar. If you want a drink, come out here. I would lay hand only one time and I'm done. I will not lay hand again. Move to the front, please. Move to the front. If you want a drink, come out here. A drink. Inside. Spirit. Lift your hand up and start to drink. 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 Holy Spirit,
move upon my life, move upon my life.
Holy Spirit, stir me inside.
I yield to you.
Fire!
Spirit of the Lord.
Fire! Go on!
Do your work.
Fire!
For me.
Fire! Fill the anointing. Yes, Lord. Fire! Fire! Yes, Lord. Fire! Fire! Now, Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord. Fill! Jesus' mighty name. Now! Yes, Lord. Have a drink. Have a drink of the new wine. Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord. now. Yes, Lord. Now. Jesus' mighty name, close your eyes and receive. Yes, Lord. Fire! Jesus' mighty name.
Spirit of the Lord,
healing,
do your
healing
with me.
Jesus, mighty name now. Heal.
Spirit of
heal.
The Lord,
Jesus, mighty name. Heal.
Do your
heal. Fire.
Holy
fire.
Spirit,
fire. Now.
Touch me from fire. Above.
Holy fire.
Spirit.
Fire. Jesus, fire!
Fill me
Jesus,
with your
mighty
love.
Name. Yes,
Holy
Lord.
Spirit,
fire!
Move upon my life, Holy Spirit.
Fire!
Stir me inside.
Fire!
Fire.
Yes, Lord. Have a drink, Jesus, mighty name. Have a drink. Have a drink. Set free. Demon, go out of her right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, now, right now, go out, go out, now, now, go out, now, 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 yes, Lord, now.
Spirit of the Lord,
fire,
fire,
Jesus' mighty name, fill, fill. Jesus' mighty name.
Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Fire! Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, Spirit, touch me from above.
Fire! Jesus' mighty name. Fire! Fire! Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord.
Fill me with
hallelujah.
Your love.
Fire! Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord. Fire!
Spirit, stir me inside.
Yes, Lord.
Now I
fire.
To you.
Jesus' mighty name.
Spirit of
fire.
The Lord.
Drink, 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 drink. Don't watch, just drink. Close your eyes and drink. Close your eyes and drink.
You.
Don't watch.
Spirit of
don't watch.
The Lord.
Drink.
I yield to you, Spirit of the Lord, do your work in me. And I yield to you, Spirit of the Lord, do your work.
And she will know you more, the reparation of God will come, that she will know Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Touch me from above. Holy Spirit.
Fill
me with your love. Holy Spirit. Move upon my life. Holy Spirit. Stir me inside.
Have a drink. Have a drink. Have a drink. Have a drink. Mighty name. Fire! 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 Yes, Lord! Fire! Jesus' mighty name. Fire!
Spirit of the Lord, do your work in me. Holy Spirit, touch me. Touch me from above.
You know, some of you may think that this is crazy. But I want to let you know right now. Can I have my microphone on? I couldn't hear my... Some of you may think that this is crazy. But I want to tell you right now that this is the thing that will protect you from sickness and disease. from divorce, from curses and demons.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.